all over the country and all over the world this morning and every Sunday morning, there are people who flock to churches, who flock to arenas and events, who are going seeking someone with the anointing. What is the anointing? The anointing is an unction granted by God through His Holy Spirit that gives the bearer of that anointing grace and power and the ability to minister the things of God. Those things of God include spreading the truth. They may include ministry in the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit. It may include the miraculous, or it may include the very practical. But people who are under the anointing have received a charge from God to discharge the works of God through them. The anointing is a critically important thing. And people will go, they'll hear a tale that there are miracles happening in this meeting, or there is an extremely anointed preacher at that meeting, or there is an anointed singer and musician participating at this meeting, and people will go away from their local assemblies and they'll go running to those places where it's reported that someone is operating under the anointing. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because people go and they get into the meetings where people have a heavy anointing on them, and there is there's an opportunity for a special kind of encounter with God. Notice I said there's an opportunity. There's no guarantee. You can go into a meeting with the most anointed singers and musicians, the most anointed preacher, and walk out just as empty as you walked in. Because there is one factor that is more important to you than being in the presence of the anointing. That's whether or not you are truly seeking with all your heart an encounter with God. You can go into the presence of God. You can go into the anointing. You can walk under the very Shekinah cloud and walk out the same way you walked in if you're not seeking God. If you're not diligently seeking Him, if you're not seeking Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, you can be in the presence of the Almighty and be empty. Lucifer was in the presence of the Almighty and was rebellious, wasn't he? He was proud. He was arrogant. He said, "I'll exalt my throne above God's." Didn't work out too good for him, did it? You see, Jesus even said that, you know, you believe in God, that's good. So do the demons. See, the demons, when they were angelic beings, ministered in the very presence of God and came away empty and rebellious. And God's people, or people who call themselves God's people, assemble in various houses of worship, in various arenas, in various settings all around this world, and they pretend to seek God, but they're not really seeking Him with all their heart, soul, and mind, and strength. See, the quality of our relationship is like with our relationship with God is like the quality of any relationship we're in. It's proportional to the amount of effort that you put into it. Are you frustrated that you're not having an encounter with God when you come into a house of worship? Are you frustrated that your prayers seem to go no farther than the ceiling of the room you're in? Are you frustrated because it doesn't seem to be working? I'm here to tell you that God's still God. He hasn't changed. If there is an issue with your ability to receive from God, it does not lie with God, it lies with you. And in general terms, it lies in the situation that, you know what, maybe I am not seeking Him with my whole heart. Maybe there's something that I've erected up as an idol that is between me and God. Maybe I seek to use what I seek from God selfishly and not as a ministry. Maybe I'm going for the wrong reasons. Maybe I'm seeking the right thing, but I'm using the wrong method to do it. Maybe I don't think I can meet God at my home church with my pastor and my singers. I got to go someplace else to meet God. I'm here to tell you that a couple of things. One is God is everywhere. He is just as available on a Sunday morning at New Hope Church as He is on some event at Madison Square Garden with 50,000 people there. I'm here to tell you also that Christian, if you are a born-again Christian, He is already so near that He's within you. You don't have to go to the ends of the earth to seek God. You don't have to go to the mountaintop to meet Him. You can meet Him wherever you are if you really want to. So many times we'll go to somebody, we'll go to another human being, and we'll go and we'll seek advice or we'll seek counsel, but we don't really listen to what they have to say because we've already got a preconceived notion of what I need to do and how I need to do it. You're just looking for somebody to rubber stamp your bad idea. We go to God that way all the time. We come and we think that we've got this situation in our lives and we concoct in our own mind how God is going to solve the problem. And when God attempts to solve the problem another way, we reject it because it didn't fit our pattern. The Jewish people rejected Jesus because He didn't fit their pattern. Right? An old man and an old woman who'd received a promise from God couldn't see how God could possibly fulfill it in the natural, so they sought another means to solve their problem. And instead of Isaac being born, Ishmael was born. And here we sit, thousands of years down the calendar, still paying the price for that decision. Because the conflict between the children of Ishmael and the children of Isaac still goes on. You see, the source is within you. In Hebrews chapter 11, in the midst of that big long passage about all of the hall of fame of the faithful, we find this passage. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Think about that turn of phrase for a minute. First of all, if you want to receive something from God, you've got to believe that God is. That God is, that God can, that God is willing, that He wants to be a good Father to you and give you that which you need. We need to believe that He is. We need to believe that He can. We need to believe that He desires to do so. That's the first thing. We got to be in relationship with Him, and we got to believe that all things are possible with God. Right? So we believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those, okay? He wants to do well by you. Those who diligently seek Him. Now, what does that mean? Diligently seek Him. To diligently do something, you must apply effort and consistency in order to diligently do something. Okay, if I'm going to diligently balance my checking account, I pay attention to it every day. I don't get to the end of the month and try to figure out why there wasn't enough money to pay the electric bill. If I'm going to diligently do it, I'm going to consistently and regularly apply effort to it. So if we're going to diligently seek God, we need to consistently apply that effort. Well, does that mean an hour on Sunday morning? Maybe two if you go see Connie at Sunday school. Does it just mean when I'm desperate that I seek God? Does it just mean that when I have a challenging situation or a hard decision that I seek God? No, to diligently seek God is a 24/7, 365 occupation. God has to be at the forefront of our thoughts. He has to be at the forefront of our planning. He has to be in that lead position that we are ever aware of Him. You know, I often recall the story that Pastor Barnett used to tell us about Corrie ten Boom. How she could be in a conversation with you and immediately shift into speaking to God as though He was right there. Guess what? He was. He was right there. Do we have that level of awareness of the power and the presence of God? Do we have that level of familiarity to know that where can I go to hide from Him? I can't go to the mountaintop to hide from Him. I can't go to the depths of the sea to hide from Him. Where can I go to miss the eye of God? There's no place. He is with you, even when you take Him places He doesn't necessarily want to go. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's there. Are we aware that He's there? Is He ever on the forefront of our thoughts and our plans? Do we do what we do with the sure knowledge that we're in the presence of the Almighty? So we got to diligently seek Him. Now seek, what does seek mean? Seek means to look for, right? We don't have to go too far to find Him, but we can always seek to know more about Him, to know what's on His mind. He's concerned about what's on our mind. We ought to be concerned about what's on God's mind. Well, I've got this plan and this plan and this on the schedule, and I'm doing thus and so, and I'm going there tomorrow. What's on God's plan? What's on His agenda? You pull up your calendar on your iPhone, and you look and you see you got 6 appointments today. How many of them are God appointments? What does God have on His iPhone, on His schedule for you today? See, if we're diligently seeking Him, we are going to defer or subjugate what we have on our schedule to what He has on His schedule. God, what would you have me do today? Christians are called bondservants of Christ. A bondservant is someone who willingly puts themselves under the control of another. The bondservant doesn't get up in the morning and say, "Master, I'm going to go to town today, and I'm going to do this and do that, and I'll see you next Thursday." The bondservant gets up and says, "Master, what will you have me do today? You know, I'm a little hungry this morning, but you want your breakfast, I shall prepare your breakfast first." A bondservant submits his will to the will of the master. I think too much in modern Christianity, especially in modern American Christianity, the bulk of the people who call themselves by the name of Christ want to control God and bend Him to our pattern and our agenda and what we want Him to do. You've heard me say it before, we want Amazon.God. Get whatever you want, free delivery. We want that instead of saying, "Master, what would you have me do today?" You see, if we're diligently seeking God, we want to know what's on His mind. We want to know what's on His agenda. We want to know what He wants me to do today. And oh, by the way, be flexible. Because those unplanned encounters happen. Well, I'm too busy. I'm on a mission from God, and there's somebody crying in the parking lot at Walmart. Do you take a minute? Do you stop? These unplanned encounters, you see, they reveal what's really important to us. When we run across these unplanned encounters that God sets up, sometimes what they are is an opportunity to reveal where our heart is. You see, we're called to reach out to the hurting, right? We're called to minister to those who are in distress. When the opportunity comes, are we too busy to do it? Because I got to cut the grass this afternoon. Because I got to go here. Because I'll miss the start of the ball game if I don't get home right now. We too busy? Sometimes we are. So we got to believe that God is, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, and we need to reframe in our minds and in our intention and in our understanding what it means to diligently seek God. Does it mean you have to be a hermit on a mountaintop? No. Does it mean you have to go to a monastery or a nunnery? No. But what it means is the presence and power of God is always on our mind. Paul instructed us to pray without ceasing, right? That's being in an attitude of prayer, being in an attitude of being aware of God. Paul and Silas knew God was with them in a dungeon one night and sang His praises, and a miracle happened. Paul, on board a ship in the midst of a storm, knew that God was with him. And he counseled the folks what to do, and those who followed the counsel were saved. You see, we got to understand, we got to be ever aware of the presence of God. In Psalm 27, the psalmist writes this, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" And this is another detail that we need to take apart, because so many times people will say, yes, I've got this awareness of the presence of God. I am trying to diligently seek Him because I need Him to do this and that and the other thing. You're not seeking His face. You're seeking His hand. You're seeking what He can do. Jesus even called crowds out at one point in time. Said, y'all are following me because you saw the miracle of the loaves and the fish. You're not after what I'm trying to teach you. You're not after learning about me. You're after what I can do for you. Free lunch. And so much of the modern church, and if we look at ourselves, probably a lot of our own communication with God falls into the can I, will you give me? Now, God's interested in our can I, will you give me's. If you've got small children, you understand can I, will you give me? Or if you've had small children, you know, they always want something. But so much of our prayer is a laundry list of what we want God to do. And that's okay. He says to bring our concerns to Him. It's appropriate that we do that. But when that becomes the sole function of our communication with Him, when that's the only focus we have is, God, what can you do for me? You're seeking His hand and not His face. You're not climbing up on Daddy's lap and saying, I just want to be in your presence for a while. That's what seeking His face does. Do you ever see a child who just looks at a parent or a grandparent and crawls up in their lap and just looks at them with this view of awe and wonder and love? Some of you, it may not be a child. Some of you may be a pet. But you know that look. I got a beagle who says, Dad, I just want to be on your lap. But we go to God that way sometimes. We go and we want what He can do for us, but we don't want Him to tell us what He wants us to do for Him. We don't want to say, okay, yeah, Lord, I yield that up to You because, you know, it's really not good for me, so I'll let go of whatever it is that's holding me back. Yes, God, I don't want to go and have this encounter, but You're pulling me to do it, so it must be something that's in your will, so I'm going to do it. You see, seeking His face is about the relationship. Seeking His hand is getting on the internet and placing an order. We got to be careful that we don't fall into the trap. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 45, in the midst of a list of parables that Jesus begins to give to the people, He says this: "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." The merchant was seeking something beautiful and perfect. He was seeking something that he desired above everything else. And he was willing to pay any price to get it. So he sees the one that he wants, and he sells everything else he's got to possess that one thing that he was focused on. Now, this is a kingdom parable. Jesus is teaching about relationship with God and the kingdom of God through these series of parables that he's teaching. And the point he is making is this: the most important thing, the most valuable thing, is your relationship with God. What are you willing to give up for it? Are you willing to be like this merchant who sold everything he had to possess the object that he desired? Do you desire the relationship with God enough that anything else is on the table to seek the relationship with God? You see, that is the purest form of worship, when nothing else is as important as a relationship with God. Notice I say a relationship. It's not about what He can do for you. It's about being in His presence. It's about being with Him. It's about doing what He wants you to do and not what you want to do. It's all about that total devotion. You see, diligently seeking God with an honest and open heart will lead you to that point where nothing is as important as that relationship. Whatever it is, I'll give it up, God. If it stands between me and you, it's trash. I'm throwing it out. Nothing is as important as being with you. And remember, I started this off talking about those people who want to go and seek a place where the anointing of God flows. Why are they going to those places? There's a multitude of reasons. Some of them are going to see the show. Some of them really aren't interested in a relationship with God. They just want to see the show. They want to see people under the influence of the Holy Spirit doing things that are unusual. They want to see miracles happen. They want to experience the great speaker under the anointing. They want to experience the great singers under the anointing. They're there for the tangible, physical, real-world entertainment value of the meeting. Some people go to those meetings just for that. Some people go because they perceive that they have a need, and they perceive that they can get their need met, they can get their miracle, they can get the prayer that they want, they can get something that they perceive that they need. Notice I said that they perceive that they need, not necessarily that God perceives that they need. But somebody's trying to fill a hole in their soul by running to that meeting where the anointing may be flowing. And then let's go to the best case scenario. There are those people that flock to those meetings to see how they can get close to God. They're really seeking His face. They're seeking His presence. So there are some quantity of people that run to those highly anointed meetings for the right reasons, because they want to be in the presence of God. And I tell you what, if you've been in one of those meetings where the anointing is flowing and the Shekinah, the glory of God, has descended on the arena. Honey, you know it and you'll never forget it. Yet you've been, I have been in the cloud. I've been on the mountaintop. And that is a precious, precious thing. But what I'm here to tell you is this. If you're diligently seeking God, you can find Him in the arena, or you can find Him in the humble church house. You can find Him in the presence of the great speaker or the guy who can barely put two words together. You can find Him in the presence of the great singers and musicians and the folks that couldn't carry a tune in a tractor trailer. You can find Him in the jailhouse. You can find Him in the outhouse. You can find Him in the church house. You can find Him in the courthouse. You can find Him in Walmart. You can find Him on the golf course. You can find Him on the lake. If you diligently seek Him. Because, as I said, the anointing is critically important. It's important to be in the presence of someone who is ministering to you with the unction of God on them. But it's even more important that you're seeking God the right way for the right reasons. That you are diligently pursuing Him. If you need a touch from God, you need to be chasing God. Now, God will chase you back. But you need to be putting the effort into it. You need to be putting the diligence into it. And that's not works. That's not performance. That's desiring a relationship. Because we're never justified by works. We are declared safe by faith through the grace of God. Grace of God is the selfless offer of the work of Christ for our benefit, and faith is accepting that. It's my decision to say, yes, I agree. God offers grace, we respond in faith, and the result is a changed life if we let Him change us. Because you see, the controlling factor in how your relationship with God grows is not in God's hands. It's in yours. Will you put Him first? Will you take it seriously? Will you diligently seek Him? Do you love Him? Do you want to be in His presence, or do you want to hide from Him? Do you want Him when it's only convenient, or do you want Him 24/7, 365? And the church can never be the dynamic, the powerful, the ministering body that it's meant to be until the people who sit in the chairs, who sit in the pews, have selflessly devoted themselves to God. Then we can be the church. Then we can have victory. Then the experience with God that we seek when we come into His house won't be flat, it won't leave us dry, it won't leave us disappointed, but it'll leave us motivated, satisfied, and wanting more. Because, see, that's the way it ought to be. Every time we have an encounter with God, the most important thing on our agenda needs to be we want to have another encounter with God. You see, it's important that we do this. It's important that we grow. We don't need to be running after the show. We don't need to be running after the power. We don't need to be seeking the anointing. We need to be seeking the face of Almighty God. And although that can occasionally be found in the big event, it's more often found in a prayer closet. Although it can be found in a church meeting, it's more often found in your moments of intimacy with God. The most deepest, impactful, life-changing encounters rarely happen in the great assembly. They happen one-on-one with you and God. But here's the beauty of it. Even in the midst of this assembly this morning, God's willing to be one-on-one with each and every one of us in this house. He's willing to have that moment of intimacy with each of us, even while He's having it with a dozen others in the room. God can do that. We can't do that. God can be... completely have 100% attention focused on Zeta while he's got 100% focused attention on Bruce at the same time. We can't do that. God can. So I'm going to say these altars are open this morning, and if you need to prioritize, it'd be a good time to prioritize. If you need to rekindle the fire, it'd be a good time to rekindle the fire. If you've never met Jesus as Lord and Savior, then none of this applies to you until you first make that decision to accept His perfect work on the cross and His powerful resurrection as payment for your sin and enter into a relationship with God through Christ. So whatever your need is this morning, whether it be a private thing that you need to rekindle something with God, whether you need to be born again, whether you need personal prayer, the altars are now open, and